But what? Let's read Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. And it just actually make a heart, just actually pray from the heart. You know, sometimes we read things. It says, you know, search me, O Lord. Know my, if there's any anxious, you know, in me. But really, is there anything anxious in you? Do you feel like maybe you're out of control? And it's easy to be out of control or feel out of control. We sung this morning how Jesus, in Jesus' name, has given us his peace, his joy, his everything. So when we feel anxious, is why do I feel anxious today? Right? Is there anything in our lives that's making us feel anxious? So Lord, I just pray that you would lead this service, that you would prepare the hearts of everyone here this morning. Lord, that you would minister by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would continue to be transformed into the image of Christ. Lord, that you would be Lord of all in our lives. And Lord, as we surrender to you and whatever you reveal to us, Lord, let us not push it off to the side, but Father, that we would actually do what you're asking us to do. Even though we might feel uncomfortable, we might feel reluctant, but Lord, let us be obedient to you and to your word. In Jesus' name. So Psalm 139, 23 says, search me. We can read it out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen. So this morning I kind of want to talk about sacrifice. Sacrifice. And what comes to your mind when you hear the word sacrifice? Pain? Well, I can write that down if you want.
Endurance?
Selflessness? What else you hear about sacrifice? Giving up something? Is it usually something that you enjoy? Going over and above, beyond, yeah. Sacrifice. Okay, boys.
Homeless and alone.
Homeless and alone.
I did that. I did homeless.
Okay, what?
I did homeless.
Embarrassing.
He did alone.
These guys had some too.
What? No.
No.
I did
homeless and alone.
Homeless and alone. Being homeless and alone.
I did. Homeless.
Yeah, being alone, yeah.
I'm being homeless.
Repentance. Humiliation. Yeah. I'm going to ask Marv to read 2 Samuel, chapter 24, 21 to 24. And just listen, it's an awesome scripture about sacrifice. Like, so 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 21 to 24.
And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee, And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver.
Amen. What stuck out to you? It cost him something. Right? Sacrifice costs us something. That's the big one. True worship is costly. It costs us something. It costs something there's a cost involved. Because if you get something for free and just hand it to something, there's no cost. It's not a sacrifice. But when you actually give from the heart and you have some blood in it, it is costly. Sacrifice from the heart, that's what God wants. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be living sacrifices unto Him. And that's a daily thing. Right? It's a daily thing to sacrifice our life for the Lord, to live holy and righteous before Him. That's a sacrifice. To Ephesians 4, 22, 24? Is it? What's Ephesians 4, 22, 24? Boys, who can read? Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen. So to put off the old. Sometimes your old flesh wants to rise up and to live for itself. Right? And we feed it. It's so easy to feed the flesh. But when God says, I want you to give this up, something you enjoy. Cheesecake for me. So now I'm lactose intolerant, and I get really sick, and I start puking because my body doesn't like it. Something I have to give up, because if I keep on eating, I'm going to continue to get sick and sick and sick. It's not really inducive. It's not really good to have. So what is the Lord talking to you about? Something that He wants you to put off.
I'll say.
Sure.
There's a game that I play online, and I can sit and play it for hours and hours and spend some money on it, and I shouldn't. And he tells me. No. But I know.
Right? And that's, you start to recognize, right? The Holy Spirit's making you aware of things that you do that you shouldn't be doing. So one thing is, ignore it, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Or two, to say, Lord, thank you for revealing it. And then how do I not feed that anymore, right? To put that off. There's a lot of things. It could be video games, it could be TV,
social media,
what consumes more of your time, right? What is really consuming more of your time than actually spending with the Lord? Work is a very big one. Sleep, right? What do we do most that gratify ourselves than other than gratifying God. And so, I know, like, last time we were coming back from out west, and we were talking, Mara's like, what were you going to speak on? So we're talking about stuff like this. I said, my brain has been working, and especially, it's like, what in my life do I need to put off? What things is the Lord speaking to me about? What am I willing to sacrifice and give to the Lord wholeheartedly? Where is God not number one in my life today? So when we sacrifice genuinely from the heart, not like, oh, Lord, I'll just give it to you because you're asking. I'm just going to give it to you, just make you happy. Right? When Jesus died, when he gave his life for us, he did it wholeheartedly. He knew the anguish, the pain, and the suffering that he was going to go through. Yet, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, please take this cup from me. But nevertheless, he says, he submitted his will to the Father. He knew what his purpose on earth was. Because nevertheless, I will do this. And it shows it was a willing sacrifice. He is willing to sacrifice his life for us to bring us, give us redemption, reconciliation, healing, right? To be let us to be set free. His sacrifice is a huge sacrifice. He loves us so much, he gave himself for us. You think about, if I love the Lord, what am I willing to give up? What am I willing to give up? What is holding me back from really giving to the Lord? What is it? And the thing is, sometimes we think, well, I don't have to do anything for the Lord. I'm saved by grace. I can just do whatever I want. But out of love for the Lord and desire to live for him, you want to give and pour out to others. You want to show your love for people by making them food, go and talk to them, sacrificing your time, helping people. And sometimes we're worried about, we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace. But we also, out of love for the Lord, we are willing to do this. Out of no expectations of getting anything back. That is sacrifice. Right? That is, like, I want to do this because of the love the Lord has bestowed on me. Because of my relationship with the Lord, I'm willing to do this. Not to earn salvation, but out of love for him, I do it. Right? So what is stirring in your heart to do for the Lord? I'm asking these questions because if we don't think about things, like when we come to church, we're not supposed to leave your brains at the door. We're supposed to put on our thinking cap, be like a Berean, and actually start digging into the Word of God. And allow the Word of God to renew your mind, to stir you, to have a love and a passion for the Lord, to really be stirred, to be the light in this world. So it's a willingness, sacrifice is a willingness to abide in the Lord Jesus. Aberration is is behaving that is not typical. We don't live like the world does. We live differently than how the world does. You think of, we're not supposed to be, where we live in the world, but not part of the world. We don't take on the cultures of this world. We don't put on a Christian hat on Sundays and say, I'm a Christian today. And I live like the rest of the world on Monday to Saturday. But but it's every day. How do we stand out? Do we stand out? So let's read Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 to 3. Who wants to read Romans 12, 1 to 3? Okay, Romans 12, 1 to 3. Okay.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen. What stood out? What stood out to you in, do not be conformed to this world? To be a living sacrifice? Transformed by the renewing of your mind?
Not to think of himself more highly than he ought.
Right? Not to look down upon people.
Sober judgment.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to, you know, when we read a scripture, to talk. It's like, what popped out to you? Right? There's no wrong answer. But really, what is God speaking to us today about? You know, not to conform to this world. Right?
That's what makes you anxious in your heart. And he says, do not be anxious. That's hard for me.
So God really wants to transform us. Right? I was, I think 1 John 2. I was just thinking about, there was, I think it's 1 John 2. I was reading this morning, it's just verse 7, yeah, 1 John 2:16 says, for everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, and the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has does comes from not from the Father but of the world, from the world. The world has its desires and they pass away. But the man who desires the will of God lives forever. To live for this world is really contrary to the will of God. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us not to conform to this world. And sometimes it's easy to conform to this world, right? It's easy to conform to this world. But God is calling us to be different, to be set apart, to be a light to be an ambassador of Christ. What's an ambassador? A representative. An accurate representative of your country. And you think about an ambassador, they used to put an ambassador in a country that was really good, who had a lot of, you know, stood up for what, for the representing that country. We're supposed to represent Christ. We're called to be ambassadors. We represent Christ everywhere we go. Wherever you go, you're going to be an ambassador for Christ. You are representing Jesus Christ. When we go into our schools, into our workplace, into our homes, the grocery store, wherever you go, you're being an ambassador of Christ. That's a sobering thought. It changes the perspective of how we live, I hope. Right? And sometimes we fail. But we say, Lord, forgive me for failing. And help me today, Lord, to live a life that honors you. So he wants us to be he wants to transform us. He wants us to be different. Don't be like everyone else. Don't conform to what everybody else is doing. And it's hard. Right, boys? We don't want to be like the rest of the world. But sometimes we want to be like everybody else, so we try and fit in. So there's that tug of war. We have this tug of war. I don't want to fit in, but I feel like I want some friends. So do I conform to them? Or do I live a way that honors my heavenly Father? Do I live a way that honors the Lord Jesus? Those are the battles. So we're supposed to be particular people. So we're supposed to be unusual, different. And sometimes we don't like to be unusual because we are afraid that people are going to make fun of us, think that we're a nut job, that we're crazy. And so sometimes we dress and act and do things in this world. I think of things of, you know, you look at the holidays that we have, the celebrations that we do. Do we do it because the rest of the world is doing it? Right? Halloween, do we go dress up and go trick-or-treating? Yes. Does that honor God? No. It doesn't. It doesn't honor God. When we open up that avenue to Satan, today is a day Satan is prey. But we shouldn't be afraid because Jesus Christ, right? And when we walk in obedience to the Lord, we could come and take a stand against the work of the Satan. But on the same note, we don't hide in the shadows. We're supposed to be a light on a dark world, in this dark world. For a hallelujah party, we don't dress up, but we're going to have praise and worship. And have fun for the kids. So that's different. And that's being a light. It's totally different. But when you, Christmas time. Christmas is a very pagan time. But yet we do a lot of things Christmas. Jesus was not born December 25th. Sorry to break your bubble. Jesus was not born December 25th. But yet, it was a man-made day. But we could say, you know what, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas anymore. We get carried away of traditions. I buy all these gifts. I buy this and this and this. Really, we're taken away from really why Christ came into the world. We could celebrate Christmas and use it as a way to share the gospel and say, This is not the day that Christ comes, but there's a day of sharing of the hope of the world. Right? But not get caught up in the buying gifts and going into debt. Not doing this, but we get together as fellowship and as believers, right? Jesus participated in Hanukkah. He participated, because you can read that in the scriptures, but we can participate in it, but not be caught up in the things of it. Easter's another thing. It's Good Friday. Easter is Resurrection Sunday. Vocabulary, it means a lot. Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Those, no more Easter. See how we get caught up in things of the tradition of this world? We get caught up because of traditions. We go with the flow because we think we want to fit in. But when we say, this is Resurrection Sunday, this is why. Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday. It's it's the day that the Lord died. It's just thinking about what we're saying or what we're doing. Don't allow traditions rule your life. So, to be different. We're supposed to live differently than those who don't have hope. That what really makes us stand out. As a believer, we have eternal hope. We have a total eternal assurance. We're supposed to live with peace with others. And sometimes it's challenging. We're supposed to live differently than not to have anxiety, but have peace. We're not supposed to have desperation, but have hope. We're not supposed to be takers, but givers. So transformation is made when we're willing to get our hands dirty. When we're willing to get messy in the process of helping others experience transformation. Because we all grow differently. We all grow at different seasons. And that's why we show grace towards one another and pray for one another and encourage one another. Because some of us are transformed and don't, have gone through it. The Lord's been speaking, but now somebody else might be going through the church, growing up in that aspect of it. So we come alongside and help them through. So transformation takes place. How does transformation take place? What needs to happen for transformation to take place? To let go of something to gain something? Yeah? What's the process of transformation? Desire? Decision? You got to make a decision? You allow the Holy Spirit to make you aware? Be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Yeah? What else? What else needs to happen to have transformation?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Willing to give something up. Whatever the Lord's sharing to you.
Perseverance.
Yeah. So when we begin to think differently, so renewing our mind with the Word of God, that transforms us to have a different way of thinking. Because what you think really affects the transformation in your life. That's why the Lord's like, be careful what you think, be careful what you watch, be careful what you listen to, be careful of who you associate with, because then that can take, you know, will hinder your transformation. So when we think differently, transformation happens. When we begin to pray expectantly, when we pray, we're expectant the Lord will hear our prayers. It's a heart cry out saying, Lord, I desire change in my life. I desire to be set free in this area. When we are authentic with ourselves, transformation helps. Transformation starts. And we're authentic with God, right? Who here tries to hide stuff from God? I have. But it's so funny, right? You're trying to say, oh, you know, whatever, I'm not going to confess it. But God knows all things. He knows what you're thinking. But he asks you to share it with him, to be authentic with him, to share how you're feeling. You're not going to hurt his feelings. He has big shoulders. He could take it. But be authentic with him. Be authentic with others. That helps with transformation. When we, like Anna says, when we are committed to a community, when we're committed wanting transformation, when we discover, transformation happens when we discover and employ our gifts, spiritual gifts. Transformation reminds us the Holy Spirit is working in on the inside of us, revealing habits, attitudes, and then start desiring godly character to be more like Christ, to be a holy people, to be set apart from this world, to be in his ambassadors. Holiness involves understanding that we're called to live a holy life, called to a holy purpose, to be a holy people for God's pleasure. We're holy priests, and we're part of God's holy church. Right? When we start recognizing why God wants to renew us and transform us, so that we start living and taking on the godly character and to become more Christ-like, to live holy, to live for righteousness. You can't do that on your own, but you need to allow the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to do that. So holiness requires an intentional decision. You're going to have to make a decision. Do I really want to live a life for the Lord? It's an intentional decision. It's a decision that we all have to make. It's an intentional decision. So we can't make it half-heartedly. It has to be intentional. When we make an intention, when we make a decision to follow the Lord, it's a heart thing. When I make the decision to follow the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you no matter the cost. I'm willing to die for you. We have to make that intentional decision prior to when we face things. So to make a commitment to a loving God, a holy God, because he is a holy and righteous God. And when he comes back, we don't want to feel ashamed of how we lived, because we all have to give an account to God. We all have to face him. We all give account to him. And he's going to ask you, and you can't say, well, I'll just blame Kyle. Kyle did it. Right? But we can't blame somebody. We have to take the onus. We have to make a commitment. Holiness involves understanding. Holiness involves understanding we are called to live holy. Holiness requires saying no to unholy activities and saying yes to which pleases God. Holiness requires response to His leading every day, every moment of every day. Holiness results in bringing glory to God, bringing a smile to His face, pleasing Him in all things. But holiness brings with our thoughts and how we think. But holiness begins with our thoughts and how we think, because our actions are a response to our thoughts. What you think is going to dictate how you're going to live. Right? That's what we're talking about, decision. Decision, Lord, I want to make this decision today to live differently for You, to make a decision to live a holy life. Lord, I'm making a decision today that I don't want to watch this or listen to this or participate in this. It's a decision. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit that helps you then to work through that. That's a sacrifice. That's a holy and pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord. Who could read Proverbs 23, verse 7? It's an easy... Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, eat and drink, saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
Yeah. Can you read it again?
Sure.
Yeah.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
Amen. For a man thinketh. How you think affects your heart. This is why one thing is we take captive every thought that sets up itself against the knowledge of Christ. It's a decision that we have to make. Do we allow those things that flutter in our minds to make be our thought patterns, or do we take captive those? Right? It's a process, right? It's a process that things that we need to take care of. So Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16.
Okay. Yea, are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, on an hill.
Yeah.
Cannot be hid, neither. Do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. So how do we live as light in the world? How do we live as light in this world?
By reading and remembering what the Bible teaches us.
Yeah? Sorry? By being obedient? So in what practical ways can we be a light in this world?
Standing out?
It's tough. Help when nobody else will.
Don't bow down to the pressures of the world if it goes against God's commandments.
So don't conform to the world.
That's right. If it goes against God, you just don't
Yeah. People see that. Mm-hmm. How come you have joy when you're going through this trial? Yeah. It's a lot to think about. It's like, because we were talking about, it's like, how do I be a light in this world? In what practical ways can I be a light in this world? We read this scripture probably numerous times, but how in a practical way can I be the light in this world? How can I allow Christ to manifest through my life? Through sacrifice. Willing to give something up. Willing to be putting off the old nature and putting on the new, putting and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to transform my heart. So I'm willing to be that light, to be willing to go that extra mile. Do you know when Jesus said, when Jesus said when somebody wronged you, or want give him the other cheek, but then he said, if the Roman soldier asked you to go 1 mile, what did Jesus say? And why is that? Well, one, by law, when a Roman soldier told you had to carry his suitcase, it was the law, right? When you went to the second mile, it was a heart decision. It was a heart decision. So he says, go that second mile. By law, you have to do what he's saying, but go and do the go the second mile, and that's going to talk a lot about your character and about who, your love for that person. So when we are transformed by the work, by the working of the Holy Spirit, when we hand over what the Holy Spirit reveals, as we live out the transformation we have received and share to a hurting, weak, broken-hearted world the good news of the gospel, we'll have opportunities for the Holy Spirit to work. And so then the light of Christ will shine out of us. Share your story, how the Lord works in your life, how he has and is continuing to work in your life. So 1 John. One John 2:28-29. First John. We'll let Eric.
No.
Yeah, we'll let First John 2.
First John 2, chapter 28.
It's not 28.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Do 29?
Sure.
If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him.
Amen. Yeah, 1 John 2, 28-29. That's a good reminder. Little children, abide in him, that when he appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as he is coming. We know the Lord is coming soon to live differently. As we close, I want to thank God, just because he wants for the work he's doing in our lives. And my prayer is that whatever the Lord is sharing, that we'll just hand over to him even right now. To give it wholeheartedly to him. and say, Lord, as when I'm handing this over to you, I don't want to look back at it again, say that I'm missing this. When we hand something over to the Lord, whatever it is, whatever you hold dear, whatever he's speaking to you to hand over, don't say, but Lord, I'm going to miss this. But he's going to replace it with something else. He's going to replace it with a desire for him. He's going to fill that area of him with himself. So you won't desire that thing. And those things will become less and less a pull to away from him. So Lord, I pray that today as we meditate on the word that we shared today, Lord, that you would help us and to live as holy and righteous sacrifices unto you, to live a holy life that honors you. So Lord, help us and show us practical ways how to be a light in this world. Help us, Lord, not to, and convict us, Lord, when we're trying to live with this world and to conform to this world. Lord, bring conviction where there needs to be conviction. And Lord, thank you that you do set us free. And Lord, let us not want to look back what you have set us free from. But Lord, let us continue to look to you and keep our eyes fixed on you until the day that we meet you in the air. Lord, help us. And Lord, as we take communion today, Lord, let us be reminded of all that you have done, that even before we even loved you, you loved us. Even before we knew you, you knew us intimately. And you know how many hairs are on our head. You know every personal thing about us. You know what makes us tick. And so, Lord, as we reminded of your great sacrifice, and Lord, we celebrate how you redeemed us, let us be mindful and not take you for granted. Lord, I pray that you would be Lord of all in our lives today, afresh. Let us have a hunger and thirst for you. Lord, you're the only one that satisfies us. Help us to desire you more. Help us to lay down our own lives and to allow you to work in our life. Amen. As we take communion, I don't know. Do you guys have a song?